18 through 24. On your Pew Bible page, that'll be page 738. Let us listen to God's word. Alas for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went from the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Then our New Testament lesson comes from Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, on page 801. Brothers and sisters, let us listen again to God's word. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you." Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we come before you and ask that your word would light our path and guide our hearts. It would lead us and show us how we are called to be your people. Illumine these words as we listen to them, as they move around our minds and our hearts, which through your blessed hand are opened and allowed to hear what you are saying to us. Be with us, Lord, and hear us. In your word, amen. One of the hardest things when we look at Scripture are the traditions that are and aren't. There are traditions involved with wedding celebrations that are a little bit strange for many of us. There are the normal and then the normal for our cultural background things. I remember the kerfuffle between my mother and my brother-in-law, when my sister and he were getting married, about having a cash bar, a la West Michigan tradition. The beer would have been free, but it was a cash bar, versus the Chicago suburbs tradition of, you ain't paying for a thing at that bar. There was a bit of a to-do. Now, when Sarah and I got married, we were asked about kidnapping the groom, because apparently in our region of Croatia, it was tradition that the groom, before the reception, gets kidnapped by the groomsmen, and if the family wants him to show up, they got to pay a sort of ransom to the groomsmen, which then goes to the bride and groom. It's a weird tradition, and we didn't do it, but it sparked in my head. There are these weird traditions that I'm sure we all have, but here in Scripture we see play out a tradition of the bridesmaids, the virgins, the young women of the bridal party, sitting outside the town with their lamps waiting for the groom to show up. If that were the only part of the tradition, it would be great. There's another part to this, and it's a lot of fun for the groom. Because the groom has this lovely piece where he shows up when he wants to. His goal in all of this is to surprise everyone. All of you who have been bridesmaids, I'm sure, are thinking, oh, great, something else to worry about. And all of you who have been grooms are like, that sounds pretty fun. The fact is, normal gets set aside when you look at tradition. And normal for tradition is something we need to engage in. So we have here the bridesmaids waiting for the groom, which is not normal for us, but normal for Jesus. And we have the groom who, as we see, announces his presence, but it's at an unknown time. So you send a groomsman to go say, he's on his way, he's coming, but you don't want, the goal is to surprise. So you don't have your best man come and announce that you're coming, and he gives the time you're coming. That's no fun. You don't have a surprise then, you know. It's like when Liam hides behind a door and you can hear him both breathing and giggling when he's about to jump out. Or Barbara when they're playing hide and seek, and it's easy as pie to find her because the box that's giggling, of course, is where she is. It's not that sort of surprise. It is an unknown, unpredictable piece. And so what is set up for us is this lovely moment that fits so well into Scripture. And what we have to do is something that of course, we know we should do, but we don't always do it. It's like when you go away to college and you know that people are coming from all over the country. Well, okay, in certain colleges all over a geographic region. And people are coming from different traditions, different areas, some rural, some city, and everybody has something different that they're bringing to the table. Well, guess what? Jesus is bringing this lovely example to the table. And we do it justice by taking a minute, setting aside our version of weddings and allowing this interesting tradition to speak to us. Because if we don't, we miss out on this great example, this great parable. So we have this interesting image of 10 women. And again, with the parables, it's easy to get bogged down in how the details are. We look at the number of women and we wonder, does that matter? We look at the fact that they trim their lamps. Is that a symbol for something? Does oil signify something in this parable? Well, that's the hard part. The easy part is to listen to how the parable plays out, to take that interesting beginning that Jesus gives us, the kingdom of heaven is like, and use that to guide us. So does it matter that there are five of one and five of another bridesmaids? No. It's nice to have the even numbers that it splits down the middle, but it could have been six and three and three. I mean, you can't use the lovely 7 and 40, some of the holy numbers. I mean, can you imagine a wedding with 40 bridesmaids? Poor girls. Poor couple buying presents for all of them. But that doesn't matter. The oil, does the oil matter? Not as much as the presence of oil for some, and the presence of oil not being there for others. That's how oil plays out. The key is to keep within this moment and understand that what is here is the idea of preparation. If we were to play this out in more of a modern sense, one, we have to keep modern weddings out of this, but you could imagine the bridesmaids getting their sleeping bags, getting comfortable, getting ready to lay out, and they've got their cell phones charging, and instead of lamps, it's their cell phones. You know, some of the bridesmaids brought the USB power banks that they can plug in and charge their cell phones, and some didn't. And so some have to go to the Apple store and pick up a power bank to charge, or they've got to go to the Apple store and get a cord. That's how this parable really plays out. It's whether you're ready for the groom or you're not. Oil can be substituted for whatever, you know, maybe it's the coals around the congregation's feet around the founding of this church. Maybe it's the, as some would tell me, the little tiny dogs that would warm people's feet too. The fact is, we see this play out. Some of them are ready and some are not. And again, our modern sensitivities come in because we look at this moment where some are ready and some aren't, and some would like the oil to be shared. Hey, let me use your power bank. Or if you're in elementary school, oh, you brought gum? Can I have some? The fact of the matter is, if we get bogged down in the some show the kindness problem, you know, why don't you share that? Why don't you get... Because you're not ready. I should be made unready as well. It's not about kindness. If it were, Jesus would have said, kindness is like in the kingdom or something like that. It is about being ready or not. 10 women are faced with a situation, faced with a great unknown. And some take a shortcut. They don't come prepared. Some, maybe they're almost a doomsday prepper type of crew. They've got everything there. They got MREs. They've got everything all set in a tub that they're sitting on. I don't know. But they have the extra oil. They're ready for when he comes. For that unknown, unlooked for period of time. We aren't meant to feel sorry for the unprepared bridesmaids. That's not what this is about. It's about being prepared. The call and making yourself ready, making yourself prepared for whenever the groom comes, for whenever the kingdom comes. Now, where that turns for us is us asking the questions of, are we ready or are we not? Means living in a way in which we are prepared, both prepared to serve God in whatever way we can, but also prepared with our lives in such a way that if, when, or whenever God calls us home, we are prepared and ready with our lives. You see, procrastination is something that we're good at as humans. Putting off for tomorrow what can be accomplished today. We'll get to that tomorrow. It's raining, it's gross outside. I'll clean out the gutters tomorrow. Well, guess what? The gutters of our lives might not have a good day tomorrow. You might not have tomorrow. Because the reality is, we're either ready or we're not. We're either prepared or we're not. But then in the end comes that part that I know we're not were not okay with. The door being locked. We don't like that. We don't like that. But the reality is, that is the consequence of unreadiness, of not being prepared, of not being in that place of constant readiness. But with that constant readiness comes another factor. Burnout. If you keep a light on all the time, what happens? It burns out very quickly, very easily. If something is always in a state of readiness, you know, when I was a kid, you were told one thing about your Nerf guns. Don't ever leave it ready to fire. Why? Because that spring is always in a constant space of tension. And when that spring hits a certain point, it doesn't hold as well the next time or the next time. And eventually it doesn't work at all. So with that constant state of tension, of unknowing, of preparedness, we also need to remember to take care of ourselves and others. And that is just as difficult as living in that place of constant tension. If we have to be prepared at all times and in all places, we have to be also kind to ourselves and others in this process. If we think we aren't ready all the time, then guess what? Have grace on yourself when you aren't. But also have the good grace to be ready the next time. The reality is, a car can't run overnight, all day, all night, 24/7. Without continued care. And that's what we need as well. So if we are ready as Christ calls us to be ready, if we are prepared at all times, we need to do the necessary care for ourselves and for others so that we can always continue to be ready. It's hard when we see this parable not to always jump to the negative, to look at those five unprepared bridesmaids and think, well, isn't it kind of rotten that they're left outside? It is hard to look at that and not see the negative. But instead of emphasizing that, we should emphasize that those five who are ready and what it takes for us to be ready, what it takes for us to make ourselves continually ready. That's the hardest thing about being a person of faith and serving God's kingdom, is that readiness quotient. Because you don't know what the next minute has, what the next minute is. You don't know when that phone call is going to come from a good friend who just lost a child, a spouse, and is in tears. You don't know what the next moment's going to hold. We don't know what the next minute's going to hold. And so all we can do is be ready. Be as ready as we can for both ourselves, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for our world, but also, most importantly, for God's kingdom. That is the key, both to life, but also to this parable. So, brothers and sisters, let us be ready. Amen. Children of God, let us go before him with our gifts. Mm-hmm.